Ever wonder if you can go from like, I don't know, fixing printers all day to building the next big AI thing? Well, today's deep dive says, yeah, totally. You really can.
Absolutely.
We're looking at the career of Giacomo
Yeah, and his like 2 decades in tech, it's basically a roadmap for how, well, everything
We're
changed.
talking real life how he did it, starting with, get this, traditional IT. You know, the classics.
Right, help desk, that sort of thing.
Yep. But then all the way to, wait for it, cutting-edge AI.
The really cool stuff. And who knows, maybe you'll get some ideas for your own career, right? You
Yeah.
never know. What gets me is Moomin didn't start with some master plan. It's like looking at his early jobs, it's like a time capsule back to what IT even was in the late 90s, early 2000s.
All right, so rewind to 1998, right? First job, IT administrator, not too shabby. But then it's a whole bunch of systems operations monitor roles, and these aren't small potatoes, right? We're talking South African Reserve Bank, Johannesburg Stock Exchange, even Discovery Health was in there. Okay, but be honest, what did those jobs actually entail back then? Like, I'm picturing a lot less cloud computing and a lot more actual servers in a room somewhere. Am I way off?
No, you're spot on. Back then, it was all about hands-on work. Think like physically maintaining hardware, troubleshooting network issues, probably wrestling with clunky software. It was way more reactive than the automation-driven stuff we see today.
It's a completely different world now. Okay, so after all those early gigs, we see Moelman kind of shifting gears a bit, becoming more specialized. He lands those system administrator positions, first at IBM, then at MTN, specializing in AIX. Now, I'm going to be totally honest, for anyone who wasn't like up to their elbows in enterprise computing back then, what even IS AIX?
So AIX, it's basically a version of the Unix operating system, but it was specifically built for really high-powered computing. Imagine like banks, big telecom companies, any organization dealing with just massive amounts of data. That was AIX territory.
So this is where Moolman's career starts to line up with all those big changes happening in tech, right? He's working on the systems that are like the backbone of these huge industries.
Exactly. And this is also when we start to see the early days of automation. Even though his role was still very much in that system administration world, his experience with AIX probably exposed him to those first baby steps of automation, you know, which is really interesting when you think about where he ends up going later.
It's like he's unknowingly picking up these skills that would become like totally essential down the road. But hold on, before we get too far ahead, I want to understand this transition a little better. Was this move to AIX like a deliberate upskilling move on his part, or was it more about what jobs were out there?
It's probably a mix of both. It's the early 2000s, the dot-com boom is in full swing, and every company and their mother wants someone who can handle these crazy complex systems.
So, perfect timing. And a little ambition never hurts. This takes us to about 2015, which feels like, I don't know, a real turning point for Moelman. We see him moving away from the pure system admin stuff and kind of towards dot software.
Exactly. He takes on that systems and software specialist role at SPI and then jumps over to First National Bank as a software support engineer. This is him branching out, expanding his skill set, heading towards something that's just getting bigger and bigger.
Like he can sense the winds changing and he's adjusting his sails.
Okay, so where does our tech adventurer go next? I'm hooked.
This is where things get really interesting, right? Moolman's career takes this turn towards like the biggest thing in tech, at least for the last decade. We're talking automation.
Oh, yeah, here we
It's
go.
2017, he joins Capitec. Title, Automation Engineer.
Talk about a sign of the times.
Right? Like it's practically a prophecy, you know? Future of work, that's what I see there.
Businesses were starting to realize, especially in finance, automating things wasn't just like a way to be more efficient, it was make or break, stay competitive or get left behind.
And Moolman, he's obviously no dummy. He saw it coming. But it's not just the job title. Look at the upskilling he's doing. Agile methodology certification, Red Hat Linux. It's like he's building this like super-powered toolkit for automation.
He's not messing around.
Okay, so time for a little transparency here. When we say automation engineer, for those of us who, you know, aren't writing code every day, what does that actually mean? What's different from the system admin stuff he was doing before?
It's a complete mindset shift. Before, it was all about keep the system running smoothly, right? Now it's teach the system to do things itself. So think about banking, all those repetitive tasks, processing transactions, dealing with customer questions. An automation engineer, their job is to streamline that whole thing, make it faster, more accurate, less likely for a human to mess it up.
So instead of just being the guy who fixes the system when it crashes, he's designing a system that ideally doesn't crash in the first place.
Exactly. And that's where those certifications become super important. Agile is all about building these systems in a really iterative way, always testing, always improving. Red Hat Linux, that's your workhorse operating system, used everywhere for this high-level automation stuff. So Moolman, he's got the mindset and the tools, right?
He's ready. And Excel, he did. But yeah. And maybe this won't be a surprise to anyone, but just looking at his resume up to this point, no way you'd predict what happens next. He goes from automation engineer to get this machine learning engineer level one. Like, what?
Now we're talking. It's one thing to automate what you already have, but Moolman, he takes it a step further. He's not just automating tasks. He's teaching machines to learn, to make choices, to do the whole AI thing.
And he's not just throwing AI on his resume and hoping for the best, right? Mm-hmm. This guy's legit. His skill section, his personal projects, it reads like a who's who of like the coolest tech out there. Python, AWS, MLflow. I mean, come on. These are just the ones I even recognize. How does someone even start to learn all this stuff? Did he go back to school? Did he find some secret underground AI hacker club? What's the secret?
There are definitely some clues in his career path. Moving from systems admin to that hardcore automation work, he probably picked up a lot of scripting, programming. That's the foundation for machine learning. Plus, remember those certifications. This is someone who is committed to constantly learning. And in the world of AI, that's everything. It's changing so fast, you've got to be constantly pushing yourself to keep up.
It's like that saying, right? The best way to predict the future is to create it.
100%.
And this guy, Moolman, he wasn't just predicting the AI future. He was building it brick by brick. And the projects he's tackling, forget about it. Next level stuff. We're talking an AI model that like gets better over time on its own. That's insane.
That's the dream, right? Design a system that can learn and adapt without you constantly having to tweak it.
It's like the robots are going to be fine. They're teaching themselves. But seriously, how cool is that?
It is cool. And it tells you something about how Moolman approaches these problems. It's not enough to just like build something that works. He's trying to build something that learns, that evolves.
And that brings us to another project that honestly kind of blew my mind when I saw it. A YouTube channel that uses AI to make jokes. Like, what is this? A sitcom written by robots? But seriously, that's some creative use of this tech.
Totally. It tells me he's got that playful curiosity, that desire to see what AI can do beyond just the practical stuff. And you know, sometimes that's how the best breakthroughs happen. You start messing around and boom, you discover something totally new.
And it's not like he's just building these cool toys for himself. His CV mentions he's giving presentations on generative AI, which tells me he's out there sharing what he's learned, contributing to the whole AI community, from fixing computers to presenting on like the future of intelligence. Talk about a glow up. But it also makes you wonder, what specific steps did he take to get there?
We don't have the whole roadmap, unfortunately, but we can make some pretty educated guesses.
It's like he's reverse engineered how to like build a career in AI, and he's left clues for the rest of us.
Exactly. And if we follow those clues, we'll probably find a mix of online courses, personal projects, and let's be real, probably some serious all-nighters reading technical manuals.
So it's not like you need some, I don't know, super secret invitation to learn this stuff. The resources are out there. It's more about like actually wanting it bad enough, right?
100%. And it's not even just the tech skills. Think about the projects he chose. He built a chat bot to be, get this, a virtual recruiter doing job interviews for him. Talk about automating your job hunt.
That's next level.
And then there's the AI system he's working on. It's designed to help visually impaired people navigate like the physical world.
Okay, see, that's the kind of stuff that gets me really excited about AI, you know?
Yeah.
It's not just about making things faster or whatever. It's about using this tech to actually make a difference for people.
Really, that's what those projects tell me, you know? Creativity, empathy, that desire to do some good in the world. Those are just as important as knowing how to code, maybe even more.
And let's not forget the, genetic algorithms? Now, I'm going to be honest, I'm a little fuzzy on how those actually work. Could you maybe break it down for us, like what they are, what he might have been doing with them?
Yeah, so imagine you're trying to find the absolute best solution to a really complicated problem. Could be anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Optimizing a delivery route, or in Moolman's case, maybe predicting lottery numbers, who knows? So genetic algorithms, they kind of take inspiration from actual evolution. You create a bunch of possible solutions, test them out, see which ones are the strongest, and then you kind of like combine them, right? Like breeding them together to get even better solutions over time.
So it's Darwinism, but for algorithms.
Exactly. And look, do I think he cracked the lottery? Probably not. But the fact that he's even playing around with genetic algorithms, That tells me he's not afraid to try new things, to push the boundaries a little bit.
Always learning, always experimenting. It's a theme with this guy.
It's the only way to stay ahead of the curve, honestly. In this tech world, the most valuable thing you can have isn't like what you know right now. It's how quickly you can learn something new, adapt to it, make it your own.
So if we kind of zoom out, big picture, right?
Mm.
Forget about the nitty-gritty details of Mole Man's career for a second. What's the takeaway here? What can our listeners who, let's be real, a lot of them are probably in those more traditional tech roles.
Mm.
What can they learn from all this?
I think the biggest lesson is that your career path, it doesn't have to be a straight line anymore. It's okay to zig and zag a little bit. And Mole Man going from like the server room to the, I don't know, the AI lab, it proves that it's possible, even if it seems impossible. If you've got the drive, if you're curious, if you're willing to learn new stuff, you can make those jumps.
It's pretty inspiring. This guy, he didn't just keep up with the changes. He became a leader in a field that, let's be honest, barely even existed when he started out. So to everyone listening, I want to ask you, what's your ideal career trajectory look like? And what's one thing, just one thing, that you can start doing today to get yourself moving in that direction, even if it's a little scary, even if you don't know where it'll lead? It's something to think about, right? That's it for this deep dive. Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and hey, maybe we'll be featuring your story on a future episode. You never know.